You are listening to a production of Resurrection Anglican. You can also catch us on the web at www.resurrectionanglican.ca or on Facebook as Resurrection Anglican in Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada.
My assignment for the Advent season is the word hope. And my text this morning is Titus 2:13. We wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We are hopeful. Many years ago, when our Kathy was in grade 2, she had a teacher that, how should I put this? That probably should have gone into some other profession. One day, this teacher came into the classroom with all these little boys and girls, and she raised her voice and said, "You're hopeless! You're all hopeless! Now, what are you?" And all these little guys in grade 2 chirp back, "We're hopeless! We're all hopeless!" So much for building self-esteem. Well, I'm here this morning to declare that we're not hopeless. There is hope. We are not doomed to defeat, desolation, and destruction. But so many in our world are hopeless, all about us. I heard Canadian author Douglas Copeland tell that when he was researching one of his books, he interviewed 100 programmers at Microsoft outside of Seattle. He wanted to find out their ideas about life after death. Now remember, these are among the most brilliant minds in North America. As it turned out, not one of them had any suggestions of what might be after death. And most of us can't live with that disconnect. And that's why what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago is so important. It gives us hope. Hope in the midst of the most devastating thing that we ever face. Death. Many of us are so frightened of death that we can't even say the word. And when a loved one is ill, we say, "In case something happens, in case something happens, I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to die. All of us are going to die." We live in the land of the shadow of death. And there are a million ways to die. Let me just cheer your hearts with one. Russell Chandler, in his startling book, Doomsday, makes the point that the skies are not all that friendly. Chandler cites several near misses in the last generation since most of us have been alive. I'll just mention a couple. On August the 10th, 1972, a fireball the size of a small house passed over the Grand Teton National Park just south and east of us. The slightest change in orbit might have sent the asteroid crashing down on a great city with an explosive force 5 times the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. On March 23rd, 1989, a mile-wide asteroid flew through the Earth's path at 46,000 miles an hour. Nobody saw it coming. And when the scientists finally sat down to decipher what was going on, they said if the Earth had been at that point only 6 hours earlier, and had it struck the Earth, It would have caused a disaster unprecedented in human history, and we probably wouldn't be here this morning to talk about it. We live in the land of the shadow of death. But there is good news in that there is great hope, and there is hope for this planet, and there is hope for all of us individually. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, there has to be an earth for the meek to inherit. And you can be sure that God is not going to give the righteous a planet that is blasted by asteroids and dying of pollutants and toxins. There is hope for this globe that we call home. The Bible talks about the restoration of all things. And God is going to put our home through a massive dry cleaning job. Talks about it in Peter's letter. He's going to restore the planet to its pristine condition. It will be paradise once more. There is hope for planet Earth because of Jesus. And there's hope for us as individuals. When baby Jesus was only 8 days old, his parents took him to church. An old man by the name of Simeon walked up to the young couple and took the baby Jesus in his arms. And he said, "Mine eyes have seen your salvation, O Lord." Our salvation is wrapped up in that little baby. Not in Mary, not in a certain religion or denomination, not in some tradition, but in the Christ child. He's our Savior. And there are horrible things inside of us. And there are horrible things all out beyond us. And we need hope, and we need help. In December 1939, some of you are old enough to remember that the British Empire was facing a terrible world war. It was very depressing. What could King George VI say to his people at the Christmas time message? He was not a great speaker, but he said some great words. Speaking to 20 million people worldwide, he said, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than light and safer than a known way.'" You want hope as you move on into the future? Put your little hand into the great hand of God. Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father and give us everlasting life, to give us hope. What's going to happen next? What does 2019 hold for us? Prophets, preachers, rabbis, New Agers, authors, rock groups. Everybody's in on it. There's a worldwide fixation on the future. And the general feeling is that something really big is about to happen. I'll tell you what's next on God's calendar. It's not Christmas. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. As it says in Titus 2:13, this is our glorious hope. We wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, friends, Advent is really not about getting ready for Christmas. It's about getting ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the Book of Common Prayer, the collect for Advent goes like this: "Cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light now, in the time of this mortal life in which Jesus came to visit us in great humility, so that on the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to life immortal. This morning I give you the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in drugs and doctors. Our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. For when he shall appear, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. Our hope is not in politicians. For the past 6,000 years, all they have brought us are wars and taxes. But when Jesus shall come, there shall be peace in the valley. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion shall lie together, and a little child shall lead them. Our hope is not in this world, in stuff, in pensions, in stock markets, in money. The world is passing away. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, it's all passing away. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. This is our glorious hope. Ladies and gentlemen, you are filled with hope. You're hopeful. What are you? Hopeful. What are you?
Hopeful.
Amen.